Today's Daf Mem, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So on Daf Mem, the Gemara talks about some of the halachas of Bishul B'Shabbos. We'll try to give some introductory remarks on this critical topic. Specifically, there's a Gemara Daf Mem and Beis, which tells us the following story. The Gemara tells us like this. We have, number one, introduction of the concept of yatza letzbo as the minimum heat, which is considered to be bishul. That means it's too hot to touch. Your hand recoils. Big dispute what that means. How hot is that? They used to say it means it's 104 degrees. Shlomo Zalman was making it until 113 degrees, which are 40 and 45 Celsius, respectively. It's important to know. And Rav Moshe says something along those lines for the lower level, but for the higher level, to guarantee that it reaches out to letters, so he requires one place 160, one place 180, very, very high numbers, which other poskim don't necessarily agree with. This issue is a very serious issue with respect to the principle which you saw perhaps quoted over here on Daf Lamed Tes, on top of Lamed Tes, and out the top line says Kol Shabbo Bechamim Milifnei Hashabbos Shon Also Bechamim B'Shabbos. That's a Mishnah later on, and that Mishnah seems to indicate a principle of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. So Ein Bishul Acha Bishul is a critical concept in Hilchos Shabbos. Whether that Mishnah is the source for this din is questionable on two levels. On one level, if one looks in the Tosfos HaRosh on that very Mishnah, on Daf Kuf Mem He Amud Beis, Pirush Rashi, Shorin also Zman Meruba. Why? Because man muad milza the pshita he lo itzchuch lemisne came in the kodesh bashel ein bishul acha bishul. You will not find the phrase tamanazer ein bishul acha bishul in Talmud Bavli. The Tosfos HaRosh has it over here, and he says ein bishul acha bishul is so obvious you don't even need a Mishnah teacher then. Specialist, it's liquefied. That's what Rashi says. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, my view is according to the Rambam, it's not true that ein bishul acha bishul, and the Mishnah is limited to a case of. The Rabbanan, Shorin also. As if you look in the, it's always important to know where the Rambam quotes various halachas. As he quoted them in Perek Tes, in Hilchos Shabbos, which talks about Doraisis. Or if you look in the Ein Mishpat, Tav Lama Tes, Perek Chav Beis, which talks about the Rabbanans. According to the Rambam, I believe that there is no heter of Bishul Acha Bishul at all, which is a far-reaching chiddush, which no one accepts, of course, la halacha. But it is relevant in the following sense. You are aware of the fact, there's a big dispute about Bishul Acha Bishul B'Davar Lach. Is it apply or does not apply? So they quote the Rambam as being one of those who's makel in the Shabbat because he makes no distinction between solids and liquids. But if I'm right, he makes no distinctions to Chumra. He machmir in both of them, even solids. So that's not going to help you, and it goes the wrong way. For that point, it's relevant, even though we don't accept the Rambam's Chumra. But I believe he holds it. Yeah. Okay. So now, how do you define being cooked? We have over here on Daf Mem, Yatza Letzbo. So if it's Yatza Letzbo, then there is no problem. So, very nice. What happens if something is cooked part of the way? So the Mishnah doesn't tell you, Kosher B'Chama L'Fnei HaShabbos, is it fully cooked or not fully cooked? The Rambam holds, in order to say, in Bishul Acha Bishul, on a level of Doraisa, you require that be fully cooked. That's on a simple level, fully cooked. Otherwise, it might be chayv. According to the Rashba, if it's half cooked, it's called machal ben drusoy. You saw that concept earlier in the first parak. Then there ain't bishul acha bishul at all. What about when it comes to water? What's fully cooked by water? Anybody? Boiling. That's what I would say. Close to it. It's really, really hot. You can make your tea that way. It has to be boiling or close to it. So what will happen if you have water which does not reach boiling before Shabbos, and you want to boil it up on Shabbos? That would be a serious prohibition. This is relevant, according to some authorities, with respect to some of the urns that we have today, which have indicators on the side of the urn. So the water in the indicator may not be that hot. So when it gets into the urn proper, when you take a cup of water out, some of that water from the indicator goes into the main body of the urn, it may be reaching for the very first time Yatza Ledesbo, or at the very least, the first time what you call Vushal called Tzarko, which is close to boiling. So I saw in one of the Svarim, it says that, they measured the water on the outside compartment, I guess a sophisticated food thermometer. It was 122 degrees, no problem. It's Yatza Ledesbo. I think it's 50 degrees Celsius. That's no problem if you assume that 50 degrees Celsius is certainly out to Levisbo. Other postmen say, we're not sure. Could be that they have to go much, much higher. They went as high as, 80. Much as high as Shia Yatsa, way off. So again, it's a question of what the upper limit of Yatsa Levisbo is as well. Again, in the case of the urine, even if it's assumed it is Yatsa Levisbo, it may still be prohibited. It hasn't been considered Mavushal Kotsarko yet. It's not as hot as the rest of the urine. Some say it's not a problem, it's a psikration, lo nichole, I don't know why, it could be nichole, they want everything to be equally hot. Some say that all the water intermingles constantly, no problem. Speak to a capable physicist to see if it's really true. Is it constant intermingling? Is it a little tiny hole between the indicator and the rest of the urine? Is the water always going back and forth? It's a radioactive test to find out if it's really true or not. I can't speak to that.
We're asking that there be Nisilis Tam.
Don't do Nisilis this Tam. The water's going to heat it up. Sorry? You think it would be or wouldn't be?
It would be the same.
It's connected with a teeny little, small little hole between them. It could be, it's always going back and forth. That'll solve all the world's problems. If that's true, there's no problem whatsoever. The poskim are not clear that it's true. I guess one way would be made to put some dye.
I think eventually
you'd reach equilibrium. Eventually? What's eventually?
I don't know that long.
Oh, you mean in a minute? Five minutes? 10 minutes? An hour?
I don't know.
2 hours?
I don't know.
Can you do the homework for me? Let me know tomorrow. You have, you have 20 cups of water in an urn and a few, an ounce or two in the indicator. The hole is this big. And you tell me how long it takes so they reach equilibrium. Important for me to know.
That's part of the indicator, no? It's to tell you the temperature.
No, it's not to tell you how much water there is.
Oh. Okay.
It's an indicator to tell you how much you should run out of water, and you'll ruin the urn.
Connected, I would imagine it reaches the same
thing. Find out, please. I'd be happy to know. The faster you find out, the better. Okay, I want to reach equilibrium on this matter. Okay. For my own equilibrium, I have to find out. Yeah?
I think a lot of people also just take out the indicator. I've seen that.
I did that once many years ago, and it's a problem. You make a hole in the urn. Try to level it. So, okay, whatever. You're a Makilim and you're a Machmir. In any event, we have over here a serious discussion about Klisheni. And the Flamma Tess Amud Aleph is a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Why? Because Tosafot Rabbeinu Tam that Iru is Kli Risha. That's a toast not membeis. We'll get to that in a couple days. And if Iris Kikli Risha, so what has the Mishnah conclude? V'chol shalabah b'chamah l'fnei HaShabbos, madich enosu b'chamah b'Shabbos. If it's uncooked, it may be madiach it. Madiach from what? Can't be madiach from Kli Risha. That's Iru, it's mevashel. Must be from Kli Sheni. That implies that you cannot put it into a Kli Sheni. So this is an inference that Kli Sheni is in fact prohibited. Toast gives two terutzim. The first teretz in Tosfos, Omri, Dafilu b'klisheni ein shorin, hold amayim chamin, merzikim mevashel. Look at that. Looks like cooking. So although the Gemara is over here beferish on Adaf, Memem Beis, as I started shmamina, klisheni ein mevashel, Memem Beis, today's Daf, that's on the level of Doraisa. Mid Rabbanon, it's merzikim mevashel. Memem Beis, Nosin l'tocha kor l'tocha tamchoi. That's only tavlin. Shemasuyin l'matik asakdera V'lo merzikim mevashel. What does that mean? What are the words? How do you understand the words of Tosis? What do you mean? It's tavlin, the matek. Therefore, what? No. How do you understand it? You don't Tosis, no? How do you understand? So the correct understanding is probably as the Ozarua said, that it means that you can use it for cold as well as hot. You put spices in it. Spice has nothing to do with heat. It doesn't look like cooking. You use exactly the same spice to flavor something in it when it's cold. It doesn't have the appearance and semblance of cooking. And there are others who say that no, it means the spice is a secondary ingredient in the pot. The main thing is the chicken. And the difference would be what if it's a spice which is the only ingredient in the pot or the cup aside from the water. It's tea and coffee, things of this nature. Okay, let's just give you an example. Before I go further, tea and coffee, in my opinion, are prohibited, in fact, if they were previously uncooked, because it's what's called kale habishel. That's the same Mishnah says, chutzmi, meliach hayashin v'kulios hayispinin, that even they more easily and readily cooked. So I think it's a problem to use a klisheni for tea and coffee, which are previously uncooked. And in my view, klishlishi is the same as klisheni. The sandwich of the Urayim says explicitly that the Mordechai, when he quotes it in the context of Bishlach HaRafia, omit that part about Kli Shlishi. But if you look at the Urayim, which is the source, he quotes Shlishi to Sheni. My Rebbe thought the same thing. It's either Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni, and Adam Fanai, it's all called Kli Sheni LaHalacha. All right, fine. Inami, second day in Tosfos, who I didn't show in also. No, there's no issue of Kli Sheni at all. Not even with the Rabbanan. Came out of a klisheni. I, my dichin, to teach you. I feel a hadacha, having my malacha, but midiach hayosh and the kulias ispinin. But you can't make any inference that klisheni is us. In my view, the mechaba passed like the second day in Shin Yud Ches, he's mekel. And the Magen Avraham paskins lechumra like the first day. That we have to be machber and klisheni across the board, unless it is something, a tavlin, or perhaps water. Because water and klisheni is mutter on daf membeis, or shemen. That's the case over here on daf membeis, our daf. Certain limited cases, this is clear in the Gemara, a klisheni is permissible. Now, why would it be permissible in those cases and not in other cases? This question has to be answered on two levels. Because you see, there's a discussion later on daf membeis about salt. What's the status of salt? Salt, two extreme views. Some say salt is mutter even in the klishin once it's taken off the fire. And some say salt is also even in the klisheni. So you see that there are certain exceptions to the rules. It's possible, from our perspective, our spices maybe like salt, insofar as that salt is thinly granulated, and so are our spices nowadays. That's a potential problem. Be considered to be more chomer than the average food. It could be also even in a klisheni. The old spices were roots, which were very thick, and therefore they would not cook in a klisheni, not even in a klishin shalol esh, according to one opinion on that membeis. So we have to discuss our foods from the perspective of what we call kale habishel, because we're not experts in what's kale habishel. We're not experts. That's one problem that we have. And number two, merzikim mevashel. To worry about both of them. Shulchan Aruch, paradoxically, the only place he strictly rules strictly with respect to klisheni is with respect to Bishlach HaRafia. You can't put the chal on the klisheni, even though some say you can even put into a klirishin. The possible reason may be that this is a normal way of cooking. The reason why klisheni is mukter, Tosfos over here, daf mem mem beis, our daf, shma min klisheni ne mevashel, tema. Maishna klisheni v'klirishin. He had to let us bow. I feel the klisheni nami. He ain't not to let us bow. I feel the klirishin nami. What's going on? Tosfos' answer is as follows. Yesh lomar. Fish the klirishin mitok sha'omar ala or even past tense. Dof nos of chamin. Umach the chomas ma meruba. Vulachach nos to lo shir. To close the match has to let us bow. Awesome. I'm a klisheni. Afal gav the yad to let us bow presently. Mutter. It doesn't hold the heat in. It's going to gradually get colder and colder. So therefore, there's room to be lenient with respect to klisheni, not with respect to kli rishon. Again, rishon had walls and was on the fire, and sheni never was. Very nice. So klisheni doesn't cook so well. But if you talk about water in a klisheni, Rashi asks the kasha, you put water in a klisheni, you see it gets hot. It's the definition of cooking with respect to water is just getting hot. So what do you tell me it's not cooking? In point of fact, it does cook. You're right. Take a kettle from the fire. Pour into a teacup. That's called klisheni. Okay? Take a teaspoon of water and put it in. What's going to happen? I'm asking, what's going
to happen?
Of course it's going to get hot. So the Rashba writes, no, it doesn't get hot. It's not because the teaspoon gets hot, it's because the rest of the water doesn't get cold. Huh? Well, you don't have to be a Torah Madanik to know this is just, forgive the pun, doesn't hold water. This is not so. Not so. Of course, it all gets mixed in together. Here, even I can see this equilibrium. There's the Eshbila, the poet, it all gets mixed in. What are you talking about? If I wanted to read the Rashba in a creative way, what the Rashba meant was not that physically that the cliche doesn't heat up the water, but it's not his intention. The average person who wants very hot water puts it in a klirishi. Why put it into a klisheni? You don't want it so hot. You're adding water to the hot water, so it shouldn't be so hot. It'll burn your tongue. So you're trying to get it to the point where it's not yad so lettuce flow. How so? Because the Rashba says if you taste it, it's yad so lettuce flow. It's too. If you drink it, yad so lettuce flow. They didn't just sip. They can sip very hot tea. They used to drink. If you drink it, it means it's by definition not yad so lettuce flow. So therefore, they've added water to make it less than yad so lettuce flow. They made a mistake. They goofed the combination, the ratio. So it is yad so lettuce flow. But he didn't want it. And so he didn't want it. It's not considered derech bishul b'kach to use a klisheni. Because the klisheni normally is not used to yield a result which is above yatzal letisbo. It's ena shloka darko. It's not nisa daraisa. And it's a low plug lakula that we find in the rabbanon. Of course, the question is going to be: what if it is darko lebashal b'kach? Take tea. Tea is normally made in a klisheni, even a klishlishi. You go to a wedding, they take out a gleaming pitcher, pour water into your cup, and they give you a tea bag. Ma'aseh b'chayom, right? That's klishlishi. Right? It was cooked in a pot, the pot to the pitcher to the cup. Ma'aseh b'chayom. So it's dark of a kach. So I don't like this heterim of klishlishi in these areas either because of this logic. The Rashba is correct or not, I can't tell you for sure. But perhaps it's what to be said for that pshat. That pshat would also be helpful in the Gemara Daf Lamed Tesem and Aleph that you saw. Lamed Tesem and Aleph, the Gemara talks about Chame Tveria. What's Chame Tveria? Right? It's told us Chama. No, it's not. It's told us Ur. The Chalfe Epischa de Gehenna. Woo! I'm going to show you the Pshat. They say it means geothermic heat. Heat in the core of the earth. That's the source of that. And that's considered to be told us Ur. And the other one said, who said? That's Ur. I mean, the sun is also a fire. It's called a great ball of fire, but it's called Chama. It's not part of the natural fire that you and I make. It's part of the natural world, the universe. You can distinguish between the universe 92 million miles away and the core of the earth. How far is that? Come on, Madanix. 6 Talking in miles. How far down is it?
Somewhere between 3160 and 3954 miles.
3160 miles down, straight down?
Somewhere between 3954.
So it was 3,000 something miles. That's 92 million miles. That's quite a different ratio. I'm not arguing what you're saying. Whatever you say, I don't know if it's true either. It's maybe less than that. I think it's, that's what I think. But anyway, whatever, it's not like 92 million. So that can be considered the age on this earth, if you will. It's underneath the earth. That's considered. And in the skies. Okay, whatever it may be. There's a whole discussion, Rabbi Osai. It seems to me from this Gemara, you have to have Eish. A microwave is not Eish. Should be the Rabbanan. Rav Moshe the Tshuva, the microwave is a Daraisa, because it's normal. It's normal. Chama wasn't normal. If you look at Rashi here in the Naflam Tes Amar Aleph, it talks about Bishul B'chama, right? That it says over there, that it's not. Ein derech bishula b'kach. V'chama ba'ol ha'milchafot l'liksa ha'a tu ha. It's not normal. Microwaves are normal. They became normal. So it should be a daraisa. What do you do with the Gemara about chame tveria? Either it's normal or it's not normal. If it's normal, Rabbi Osai, should be the Raisa for sure. If it's not normal, so it should be permissible. So my view is it's not normal. But not normal is also with the Rabbana. But if it's a Toldos Chama, where it's not only not normal, but it's a different category, they made a low plug the cooler and they allowed it. It's usually Shloka Dakas, also the Rabbana, that's my pshat in the Gemara, so it's no riot against Rav Moshe. That's one same macro. So the rice, if people are using it for cooking nowadays. Fine. So Rav Osai, the halacha is unclear in these areas. To discuss klisheni from both perspectives. Again, from Kalei HaBishul, such as Kluyos HaYispinin, from that perspective, as well as from the perspective of Mirzik and Mavashim. The Mechaber seems to be Mekel in both. And it's widely paradoxically Machaber when it comes to Chala, to Dover HaOfui, which is itself controversial. I believe the answer is as follows. We usually... Have you heard of Dunkin' Donuts? Who's heard of Dunkin'? Who's never heard of Dunkin' Donuts? I haven't heard of Dunkin' Donuts. You dunk a donut into coffee, right? That's in a cliche or shlishi. That's normal. Who dunks donuts into a klirish? Who puts challah into a klirish? Not common. So the common way to deal with baked goods is in a cliche or shlishi. That's why it's a Shabbat Daraisa. So the Mechaber is Machmer for it, even a cliche. And if you look on the Uraim, it's Machmer, even a cliche. As opposed to a piece of chicken, you put in a cliche, so you normally cook chicken in a cliche. That's not normal. So that's the definition I'm suggesting of what's considered Kali Abishal depends upon normalcy to some extent. And then, of course, the concept of Nerzik and Mevashal, which is a dispute 2 days in Tosa and Ephraim and Tessa and Aleph. So, again, I'm not passing definitively, I'll have your own Rabbonim, but you have to be careful with some of these things, which are not as permissible as meets the eye. Okay, so now I have the following question. What happened exactly in the situation of Rebbe? What exactly happened over here? The Gemara says it's Chamei Tveria. So Rashi explains over here on Daf Mem Amud Beis and on our Daf. Rashi says as follows. Bambati, kon brecha asuyen bekarka, shamayim nichnasim sham v'nesof. They didn't have jacuzzis in those days. They had a hole in the ground, and the water would gather and go there. Now, either it was coming from a fire, or it was coming from Chamei Tveria, as the case may be. Okay? And he bikash nirsham pashem alahavshir, the suchim alakon arachitza, tum and amayim, Piklisheni, she had stanu ma'at, the klisheni and a mavashal. Bachakach, teina pach, says Rashi, that's also klisheni. Tachabati shachamin im shochen lo min amayon, he's already anticipating klichamin tveria. Choshev lo ke klirishin, shenir tuchubo. Shafapisha viro me'ala ur mavashal. It's a mission enough men bezim and aleph. Ho ilfus bakhtera, shavim rutokam lo yitin tokam tavan. It's klirishin. Klirishin is mavashal. It's considered to be klirishin by virtue of the fact that it's sliding along and landing up in this hole in the ground, it's considered to be in the category of a Kli Rishon. On this basis, there are Gedolia Poskim, Prima Gadim suggests, Chazanish, so they say accepted it. If you fill up a cup, not from a kettle, you lift it off the fire and pour it in, but from an urn, the urn being on the fire all the time, because it's the electric fire, is the elements in the urn proper, it's a Kli Rishon. So, Mefurash Gemar, Mefurash Rashi. How do you like that? Unbelievable chumrah. Chumrah of the century. If you use an urn, the water is klirish. Before Shulchan Aruch Rashi, no? It's against what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, Simon Sadi Beis, Siv Zayin. So I think the pshat in this Rashi is that the water is constantly flowing. Chami Tver, we kept going. Once you turn off the spigot, the water stops going out of the urn, that'll be a Kli Sheni. Constantly go. What Rashi says he means, Rashi says over here, Rabbi Osai, Rashi says, Brecha hasuya bekaka, v'hamayim nechnosim sham, v'nesafim, the water is still going. Because we know, Chamei Tveria keep going and going and going without interruption. So therefore, it's considered to be an irui mikli. A meekly Rishon, at the very least. As a matter of fact, there's a problem over here. Tosa says in the next daf that membeza membez that iwi is mevashel a kedei klipa, not more than that, only the size of a peel. It's tato gova. And the question becomes: so if the water is pouring over this jug, what's the problem? The jug, the thickness of the jug, right, should itself be the pach shel shemen. The thickness of the jug be b'mkom klipa. There's no problem with the water falling on top of the jug and impacting beyond the material of the jug. It'll never get to the water or the oil which is inside. How do you learn pshat? You probably know about this from your idea, from wherever you learned, that iris mevashel elis kadei klipa. Iris mevashel b'kulo, we understand the Gemara. Mevashel kadei klipa, I'll show you right now. Mem beis and beis, okay? It's we'll get a head start to Wednesday's daf. Tosu says after going back and forth with Tato Gover, Lo Gover, Venere, it's halfway on the narrow lines of Mbeza Beza Big Tosus, the Iru Lo Havaka Klevisha Lo Klesheni, and the Vasha Kade Klipa, Kamish Shmuel and Tato Gover! Psachim Nafayan Vav! Okay? Nu, it's only Kade Klipa. Let the jug be told to be Kade Klipa. Presume the answer is as follows. The water keeps going and going and going and going, and the cavity keeps filling, 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 and filling. After a while, the water is lower than the jug, or at least at the very bottom of it. So therefore, we're not going to say, typical Iruy, I pour hot on cold, is Tato Gavar, and therefore it doesn't go past the klipa's worth. Here, you're pouring it into this body of water. The water is uninterrupted. It's treated like a klirishin, or thereabouts. And therefore, we say that it cooks the shemen, not only the klipa's worth goes through the klipa. It's not just a typical case where I pour something on top of an item. Pour on top of an item, then we say it only goes into the klipa. Here, it's a constant stream and there's hot water on the bottom. So as a result of that, the entire jug is considered to be cooked even beyond its klipa. You follow me? That's Shana Gamario.
Rabbi's saying that it's not eerie because when the cavity fills, it's actually sitting, the jug is sitting in the cavity.
The jug is in the cavity, and maybe even water. I'm not sure if the water gets underneath the cavity completely. This I don't know for sure. But it certainly gets to the same level as the bottom of the cavity. It's being constantly reinforced by more and hot water. So if it has some kind of status of a klibishin, it's not a klisheni. I would have said it's a klisheni. But this cavity was never on the fire. It's never on the fire. Why is it a klisheni? What's the whole problem over here? Tubu klisheni. This is a klisheni. It says, no. You got to go into the water, take a jug, take it out of the water, put it down. Now it's a cliche, but before it wasn't a cliche. But if it's only Iwi, it's only Kadei Klipa. But it's worse than Iwi, because the bottom becomes hot, the water, hot water comes in, the keeps coming in, filling up. It's not just a plain case of Iwi with respect to Iwi on top of a jug of oil. No, it's the jug is submerged, if you will, in the water. It's considered to be a much worse case. It's a case of klirishin proper and not merely irui, and that's why even though there's a jug in between, we say it's no good. You got to take the water out of the hole in the ground into a separate utensil. Then it's considered to be klishen. Yes, sir.
It seems like it's a combination of like an irui and a klisheni. So why does the combination of an irui plus a klisheni give it the chumrah of klirishin?
Irui plus klisheni.
It's like the irui first coming into the cavity, but then the cavity fills up, and that's like a bishul in a klisheni. So why does the combination of the irui klirishon plus the klisheni?
The answer is obvious. It's not a klisheni. It would be a klisheni. What are you talking about? Tuba klisheni retain. It's already a klisheni. At least some possible say it, so it's a klirishon in all such cases of the urn. I can see the point as long as the spigot is open. In other words, if the spigot is open and it's pouring water into the teacup, that's klirish. That's its gemara, b'furish. Once you close the spigot, not. In the case of the that he's describing here in Chaim Tveria, is the who's ever been in Tveria? Does water come out? Are there really waters coming out of the ground? Not in the hotel where you went, huh? Okay. One day you go to Tveria, look for the Chaim Tveria and see if the water keeps coming up. If it comes up uninterruptedly, that becomes a has a status of a klirishin, as long as it's still going. It could be pshat. Again, I can't say for sure it's pshat in this Rashi, but mayim nichnasim sham, v'nei asafim, it's nichnasim, you know, present tense. It keeps coming, coming, and coming, and coming. So he wanted to put it there. He said, no, you got to take the water in a klisheni. But the klisheni is not, it's not mevashel. Right? But he says, hacham badi shachamin im shochen lo min amayin, choshev lo ke kli rishin shenir tuchubo, apisha v'yumen el esh mevashel. Why is it called a kli rishin? This habatim was never on the fire. The answer is, it's an uninterrupted flow. You also could say that the ground is hot. Were you in Tver near the Chamin? Was the ground room temperature like here? Was the ground hot? You can take your shoes off. Okay, but next time you go, if the ground is hot, then maybe that the normal tatogav of cold surfaces, which you'd normally have when we do Iwi. Okay, propose any questions before I stop? So we'll stop now, and then tomorrow we'll continue some other areas of Mishnah. Any particular question I'm going to answer, tell me now or tomorrow morning, and we'll try to answer. Okay, again, I apologize for being late. It was a change of venue, which I was...